This is a scripture that, if not directly quoted, we've heard this scripture at this table, or one similar to it, many, many, many times. This is Paul's memory of what this table meant and what the actions meant when Jesus sat that last time physically with his followers. So I'm going to share this scripture from behind the table, where the symbols are all here, right here in front of us. Let me go over again, with you again, exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. And this version is the Message, so it's going to sound different because it is different. It's a paraphrase and a powerful one. I received my instructions, Paul said, from the Master himself and passed them along to you. The Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took the bread and, having given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. "This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me." What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. In Ephesians, Paul says, "Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, of which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak." This morning, I brought my first and only communion kit that, when I was ready to graduate from seminary, my mother searched on Cokesbury and found this beautiful solid walnut communion kit that enables me to go out to people's homes and share communion with people there. So I can't tip it too far, but it's all carved out of a slab, solid slab of walnut, and then hinged together. And these are, I haven't seen these in years, because I haven't used these in years. These are very heavy glass cups for communion. And since they're glass, and this is before the pre-made plastic cups with the juice in them already in the wafer on the top, if I went to one house, I don't remember what I did if I had more than four. I really don't remember if I had plastic cups to supplement. I don't remember. But I do remember that if I had two visits to make and I came to your house first, usually the host was kind enough to wash these out after we had communion so I could take clean, sanitized glasses to the next home, have communion with them. So in my first church, I used to go and visit a man who was in mid-stages of multiple sclerosis. And we sat in his living room, and he would be either in his hospital bed or in his wheelchair. And his name was Earl, and Gloria would set up two chairs and a wooden stool in the middle, and I would put the communion kit on the wooden stool, and we'd sit around Earl, and we'd have communion together. So we got all set up, and we're having a quiet moment in prayer, and we get to the Lord's Prayer, and I hear something. Did I happen to mention that they had a Jack Russell Terrier? I open my eyes just in time to see this rascal licking the juice out of the third cup. The bread was gone. We laughed until all three of us had tears coming down our faces. I have never had a communion that joyous, humorous. I've never had a communion like that ever since. And you know me well enough by now that I get thinking about things and you turn them at a different angle. And I happen to think, communion represents God's salvation. That's what these things symbolize, God's salvation. Who and or what is included at the table? And who and or what is excluded at the table that represents God's salvation? That got me thinking about who sat at this table the last night he was physically here. Who sat here? And who were some of the people who sat at table with Jesus throughout his ministry? And there's one word that kept coming to my mind, and it's the people Jesus invited and included at his table. He was scandalous. That probably isn't even a strong enough word for us. It was scandalous who used to join him at table or where he would go and sit. It's easy for us to forget because we're not back 2,000 years ago and we are not Jewish. Jesus was a Jewish, upright Jewish rabbi. He kept the laws of being clean, ritually clean. So that even in the presence of a Gentile, a non-Jew, when it comes to meals, and especially the Passover meal, it was scandalous. Who shows up at his table or where he would go and have communion with people? The type of people he had, it was scandalous. And it's hard for us to remember that because, you know, we know the story. And that makes it hard for us to hear it for the first time. Just take some of the regulars. The women, even though Da Vinci and others don't portray the Last Supper with them in the picture, they were a part of the disciple followers, town to village to village to town, to room to home to... They were there. They were disciples. He included them. And Luke is the one who gives us the most inclusion and mentions that more than the other three gospel writers. That was scandalous. You just, you know, he's pushing the boundaries. You remember the one story? The woman who is so overwhelmed by his forgiveness that she is crying on his feet and rubbing it dry with her hair. I mean, this is a woman at the table. These are all things that are strike 1, 2, 3, 4, making him unclean, ritually unclean. The touch, all of this, and the reason why she's feeling so forgiven. Read that story again. With the awareness of who he is including at the table, it is scandalous. It just drives them crazy. Even the regulars, the heavyweights, the ones we hear about, the ones that are painted and sculpted and all that kind of stuff. Okay, Matthew. Matthew was a scumbag. Every other disciple around that table must have had to pick their jaws off the floor the first time Matthew comes to join them. And yeah, he's one of our followers now. He's a tax collector. He's a traitor. He's one of the 12. Say, what? He's included at the table. Peter, the big rock of the church. Yeah. Do you remember the story in John, Gospel of John, where Jesus, now resurrected, says, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, sure I love you. And feed my sheep. How many times does he ask Peter that question? Anybody remember? How many times did he ask him, do you love me? Three. Whoa, you think maybe there's a bungee cord tying that to another scripture? Let's go back in time a little bit before he is killed in a courtyard. Do you remember what I'm pointing to? You're one of those followers. You know, I don't even know who he is. How many times did he deny him? Yeah. He's at the table. And the guy who set him up so that he died, Judas, is at the table and offered everything everybody else has offered. These are just the 12. Whose salvation, God's salvation, who does it include? What does it include? What does it exclude? Well, in Paul's language, I'm going to take us purposefully to a verse that many of you will probably be able to finish this verse. I'll start it, and I'm confident that many of you are going to be able to finish this verse. Let's see how it goes. God so loved the... Keep going. Perish. Right. Depending on the version of the scripture, you've memorized it. Okay. This is one of those slippery scriptures because we know it so well. So our mind says, oh yeah, I know that. Checks out and leaves the building. Okay. So let me come back and say, God so loved the what? I'm going to be a cheerleader now. I didn't hear you. God so loves the what? The what? I didn't hear you. The what? No, wait a minute. It didn't say people, did it? It didn't say human beings. It said God so loved the world. In today's language, that's the whole kit and caboodle. That's like saying the universe. Included at the table is the world, the universe. Listen to Paul's language. He uses a slightly different term. Instead of the world, he says the creation. Again, if that were written today, we would say the universe, the whole kit and caboodle, everything, everyone. We've, as Christians, before I share this scripture, we have often been quite prideful and narrow in our view of God's salvation. We have viewed it as God really only cares about human beings. The rest of creation? Yeah. Look at how we have treated. Look at, we're paying for it. It's in our air, it's in our water, it's now in our food, and it's in our bodies. That comes from an attitude of who's excluded, what's excluded in God's whole plan of salvation. In fact, we've even, shame on us, narrowed it even more. It's not just that God cares about people, only certain people who have the right beliefs or do things the right way. I'm sorry to have to say this, but it's true. We have truncated God's salvation for just a few. God so loved the... Paul says the creation instead of the universe or the world. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is about to be revealed to us. And listen to how he describes this. For the creation, the universe waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation, the whole kit and caboodle, was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but the will of the one who subjected it in hope. And this is the line of love. That the creation itself, the universe itself, the world itself, the whole thing, will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain freedom of the glory of the children of God. The whole thing is here and included. Everything. Everyone. Didn't realize the table's that big, did you? This grand book ends, second to the last chapter. There's this voice booming from the throne, which is God's voice. And that voice says, "Behold, I create." Can anyone finish it? "All things new." It's all here. All of it. All of us, including the relative that we really can't stand in. They're coming over for a picnic. Oh, I wish they weren't. Yeah, and them too. Maybe you don't want to have, you might not feel comfortable having a Jack Russell Taylor Terrier up here at the altar during communion with you. But they're included. May have noticed the title in the bulletin has Jesus being a mime. Well, because I'm a gimp and I can't wander around and take my hand off of this, I'm not going to be able to do what I was going to do this morning. But I'll have to describe it and hope that that is enough. When Jesus is scandalous in including all others, everything, it's only scandalous for for anyone who thinks they have sole right to be here, and anybody else, that upsets my world if I feel that way. Because I don't want everybody. I just want... But if we're one of the people that's back around the corner and didn't even set foot in the building, is just kind of listening at the door because we've been pushed out or forgotten completely, God so loved the world is golden in our ears. You are welcome. Because it includes us all. And that's a very good piece of news. I'll invite the communion helpers forward at this time.